Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitch Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.
Let me talk to you for a minute about my friend Michael Bush. Mike has spent over 20 plus years with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor and manages an office here in Louisville. He's my own personal financial advisor. One reason is that he knows that my investments in real estate and my business are my best investments where I get my best returns. After that, I also invest in the stock market for diversification and tax advantages. Mike and his team have done a great job handling those investments for me. Their team takes a comprehensive look at planning, so he's regularly bringing up ideas that add value and build a more secure plan. Things like protecting my income with disability insurance, protecting my family with life insurance, and ways to get more out of my cash that would otherwise be sitting in a savings account earning nothing. Mike and his team at Northwestern Mutual have been great partners for me and my family, and I encourage you to give him a call. No obligation, just a conversation to see how they can help. Call Michael Bush at 502-727-2758 or email him at michael.bush@nm.com.
We spent the past couple of years in a crazy hot market. Louisville home sales decline as demand outpaces supply. Effective communication is at the core of any situation. If you master these two ideas, you'll have a chance of being successful at residential real estate marketing. I think you need to be looking for investment opportunities that move the needle. The market will never crash if demand exceeds supply. This is what I've been telling you all along.
This is the Jay Pitch Show. And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. Talk Radio 1080. Real news, real talk. This is Jay Pitts. I am your host. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Ryan Harris. Ryan, what's up, sir?
Oh, honestly, there's a lot. That's what's up.
There's a lot up. So
I feel like everybody always says not much, but honestly, in everybody's life, there's always a lot going on.
Oh, dude. I was talking to somebody about that on the way over here today, actually. It's like those moments where you're like, man, why did I agree to all of this? Why did I agree to do this? Why did I agree to do that? And, you know, it's funny because I got asked to do something the other day. I don't really want to get into what, but it's like another kid activity. And it's no secret. We've talked about it on the show quite a bit. I coach all my kids' sports and like I'm very involved that way. This is with the school. It's actually like the school. So I coach a lot of school sports and we volunteer and we do sponsor things. But this was like, you know, volunteering time and serving in a capacity that I've not been asked to do before. And I'm like, man, I should do that. And then I had the thought, I was like, man, but that's one more thing. Like,
it's like there's that wedding you're not really sure you want to go to, but you RSVP and then the day comes, you're like, gosh.
God, they paid.
I'd love to just not go to that.
They paid $150 a plate for me to show up. Like, I gotta show up. No, it's funny because I practice this will kind of stick with, you know, the show topic just a little bit because we talk about stuff like this all the time. I practice this policy whenever I incur expense, like especially significant expense on the team, the brokerage, the property management, whatever. I like to add by subtracting. Because you're constantly trying, and honestly, some of the best things that we do in our businesses come from trying ideas that we're not really sure how, like this radio show, like podcast 5 years ago, like who knew, right? There are costs assigned to these things, and you try, you're constantly developing, constantly kind of trying to elevate, and some things bust. And some things take off and you can't imagine your business without them. So I try to eliminate dead weight expense by when I add new expense. Those are the moments where I contemplate. So if somebody comes to me and I've got another couple $1,000 a month marketing venture, I try and look at my budget and think, what am I spending money on that is not performing? And so can I replace certain expenses? I don't know with I can't apply that to my real life because I can't get rid of it. Once you start doing something, you can't stop.
I think a lot of people apply that to, like, could apply that to a lot of things in life, like subscription services. Like, I just joined a new gym, just moved over in Crescent Hill, joined a gym, little price here. I was like, how can I offset this? Well, I actually walked into Planet Fitness and Crunch and canceled those. So
there you go.
$25 back a month. And
that you can apply.
You try to find these little things. As soon as you said that too, it reminded me of something I do. Let's say I really wanted to go out for lunch one day, but I also wanted to, say, buy Bitcoin. Price is down. I'll find some makeshift meal at home. I'll eat at the house and use what I would have bought on lunch to buy Bitcoin. I do that quite a bit.
Well, it's a deal with yourself. I think those are good. Those are good things. Like, I used to, and no doubt, like, the working out part is easier for me than the eating right to stay healthy. That is certainly a thing. If I could get my diet in check, I'd be in very good shape. But
I have a podcast, or just one episode I want to share with you on.
Okay, all right, we'll have to do that. Like, for me though, like, it started out, I do well with elimination diets. So and it's lifestyle anymore. It's not a diet. So it's like, I don't drink soft drinks, like, at all. Like, I do, but like, if I wanted to eliminate French fries from my diet completely, I could totally make that happen.
I remember a couple of years back, you know, it's so funny you mentioned French fries. We were talking something about this, how you order a value meal at a restaurant and they make you feel like you have to eat those fries, but really the smart choice, you've already paid for them. Like, what's the difference than just throwing them away?
I think we've had this actual discussion because I often say the only decision that you can make that's worse than buying the fries
is actually eating them.
It's like you that chicken sandwich has got like 500 calories, but at least it's got like 30 grams of protein. Like, the fries have nothing redeeming about them.
Yeah. You know, this podcast I'm going to share with you, they had something very interesting they said on it that resonated with me. And it was, you need to think of protein as the floor and calories as a ceiling. So, like, yes, you never go over that ceiling, but you have to get over that floor of protein every day.
For sure. So macros is the way to do it, if you can do it. I just find it a bit uncomfortable. I'm a large guy, right? I don't weigh 140 pounds. Like, I weigh closer to twice that. Not actually, but close.
Jay's tall.
I'm tall. I'm 6'4", 230 pounds, 235, depending. So they say if you're building, like if you lift as much weight as I do, that you should have 1 gram of protein per pound of weight per day. 230 grams of protein is a lot.
Yeah, some say it's even more.
You know, so anyway, but, that's neither here nor there.
It's a long opening intro.
Hey, you know, we take it where it goes.
Fun topic, though. I like talking about that stuff.
We take it where it goes around here.
We have a real good show for you today. We're going to do story from the field. I'm actually going to give an update to last week's story. So if you haven't heard last week's story, you need to go back and listen. It is a very crazy one. It involves a stolen Tesla, gunshot, somebody getting shot. So I'll update that. We're going to talk about teenagers. Headline comes out, would give up their right to vote for social media. We'll talk about, does $100,000 a year make you rich anymore? Google opens up Bard to everybody. That's their ChatGPT competitor. Is the Fed going to pause rate hikes? We'll talk about Twitter's new CEO, a new tech company that raised a $40 million Series A, and Peacock and NFL, their deal. So I'll be shocked if we get to all of it, but we're going to try.
We'll get through it, man.
I'll give a quick update to the Tesla story last week. So, you know, a friend's Tesla got stolen, went all the way to Atlanta. Guy ends up getting shot in it. So he got his car back. It was towed back here to Louisville. One gunshot wound, like I said, or bullet through the car. And he has black leather. Says it just looks like a stain, but it's a blood stain. Toro's going to pay for it all. Just doesn't know how fast it's going to happen.
Wow. So I've never heard anything like that. But I probably will never rent vehicles on Turo. Like, rent out my vehicles on Turo. I'll rent vehicles from Turo. So I probably will never find myself in that similar circumstance. But I as a landlord, and having the stories that I have from being a landlord, things being done in properties that I own, I can tell you I empathize. But it's nice because my insurance doesn't pay for stuff like that that happens. So maybe Airbnb would do that because Airbnb is the equivalent of Turo in the housing space. So I don't know. Probably never going to own those either because I'm a long-term rental guy. So
that's fair. Fair. All right. Let's go to story from the field. So this brand new agent said they're a brand new agent and a friend of theirs wants them to do a CMA on their property. They offered to pay me for it. I told her no. I said, this is a service any realtor can do for you in a matter of minutes and that this is not an appraisal and can't be used as such. My question is this legal? I guess, I think the question asking, can she do a CMA for money?
Quick answer, yes. You can do a CMA or you can give advice or you can do a consultation. You can show property. You can do any activity, right, that could be construed as real estate services and charge a fee for it. You could charge an hourly rate. You can do a lot of things. There's a couple of watermarks. The compensation has to be paid directly to your principal broker if you're not a principal broker, and then has to be distributed to you by your broker. And you got to be licensed. That's pretty much it. Like there's not a lot of challenge here. It's just not the way most people's businesses are structured. I tell you, I met an interesting agent back at the RE/MAX R4 convention in Vegas that was from Detroit. This was around the 2010-11 timeframe when there was a lot of bank foreclosures and Detroit was like the epicenter. Actually, funny enough, Vegas was probably a close second, but there were like, talks of like entire city blocks in Detroit that were abandoned because all the homes were foreclosed. This agent would literally charge a $2,000 retainer that would be paid up front, sign a contract of exclusive representation for investors, and then charge them an hourly rate to show homes on top of whatever commission she got, because there was so much inventory. Like you hear me say, like we had 18 months inventory at one point during the foreclosure crisis. It was probably triple that in Detroit. So the prices were so depressed that like commission might be like $1,000 on like a $10,000 house, which is like a 10% commission. But like, if you have to spend a whole lot of time with somebody to make $1,000, like it may not be worth your time, especially when you're in demand. So she just kept adding these things on to make her service. I mean, think about the people that bought those homes from her now. What they paid then and what those homes are worth now. How much she made people fortunes, man. Oftentimes I say the only thing wrong with 2008, 9, 10, 11 is that I didn't buy enough real estate.
Yeah. I always think there's, some pretty interesting things agents can do out there around charging hourly rates. I think you might start seeing more of it in the future, but we got to cut to a couple ad sponsors here, but we will be back talking about why teenagers would give up the right to vote for social media and does $100,000 a year make you rich now? So definitely stick around. We'll be back on the Jay Pitt Show, Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris.
Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1080. Real news, real talk.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. All right, we just finished up with Story from the Field and the Tesla story, which if you're just tuning in, you're gonna have to go back to last week's episode to listen to that. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's really good. So, but we're gonna get into this headline I saw this morning from Fox News. The headline, all it says is teenagers will give up the right to vote for social media. So before we dive into this article, Jay, I just want to hear what you think about that when you read that headline. Where does your head go and what do you think?
I mean, real quick and easy. I mean, we've seen most citizens become dejected at government and the voting process. There's a lot of, you know, seemingly disenfranchised voters. You hear talking points on that both from the left and the right, right? You know, in very different places. But the same sentiment. So I'm not surprised. I mean, Gen Z specifically has seemingly very little value attached or assigned to convention, right? Like, why is a great question that represents Gen Z. Why should we care about voting? People don't feel a part of the process. They outcomes are rigged, what have you. And I don't mean in a sense of like election denial or anything like that. People just feel very disconnected. What goes on in government doesn't have an impact on my life. I mean, I would say that I am a very fortunate, very privileged person to have had opportunities that I've been able to use to create success. And I still feel like I wonder how much impact it really has on my life, right? And I'm very much a part of that, you know, establishment, if you will, of people that play within the rules and try to benefit, right? Try to build a life for myself. So I can understand the sentiment. It's a little silly and it's pretty typical, okay, of a large media outlet to say, to even ask the question, though, to trade it for social media.
Right? Well, you know, I have a couple of things on this. And it's definitely like a big media company to have the headline be something it's actually not. So the headline makes it seem like they'll give up their voting right forever. The question that was asked to these thousand, they interviewed 1,000 different preteen or teens and young adults. It's for a year. They have to give up their voting rights for 1 year. Yeah. So 64% of teens said they would give up their right to vote for 1 year in order to keep using social media. 59% of young adults, which I believe is 19 to 24, said they would give up their right to vote for 1 year in order to keep using social media. So it's not, so that alone is just kind of skewing the viewpoint.
Yeah.
But I bet if you were to actually force this decision on people of any age, they would choose social media over the right to vote.
Greater than 50%.
Greater. Guaranteed.
50%.
If it was actually a forced decision, like you have to decide this, because I know most people that I know that are addicted to social media or Facebook, I think they would choose Facebook over their right to vote for a year.
I found myself wondering as I read the article, if you segmented which social media platforms, because this makes it seem like they're really pigeonholing young people. Here, they're trying to drive a narrative, as the media always does, and it's not surprising. Fox News tends to skew an older audience, so castigating, you know, the young audience, it makes a little sense. Like, they got a lot of boomers listening, you know, and watching their programming, saying, "Yeah, those kids," right? So it doesn't surprise me, but. I think that would be more on the Snap, Insta, TikTok kind of thing.
Well, I was going to ask you, does it feel like the lines are blurring between what's social media and what's considered news?
I think Twitter is endeavoring to really pretty much destroy that. But the truth is, what we've seen, Elon said something about this, you know, not that long ago. He said, you know, the media outlets that you see like aggregated on Twitter are still traditional media outlets. They're just using Twitter for distribution. And that's why he wants to encourage, you know, news makers, right? Like journalists to host their content on Twitter so that you can get a variety of opinions. You don't just get, and that's part of the reason why he said his API, they, their enterprise level API connection to push out content is going to be so expensive because he wants to deter or limit the advantage that a Fox News or an NBC News or a New York Times or a Washington Post, for example, the advantage they have over the individual news journalist, the independent journalist. So that, you know, they're competing with Substack. They're going to try and compete with probably Rumble and YouTube. But quite interesting. And I think Twitter, and he's kind of leaked out this, like, this X app idea where he is he's a marketer, he's a salesman. It's kind of like, you know, Facebook calling themselves Meta now. Like, yeah. It's just like, we are everything. That's what we are. I get it. And I welcome it, honestly. You know, availability of perspective should be out there for everyone.
You know, the glass half full type of person in me reads this headline and thinks, okay, well, why would they rather give up their right to vote than social media? And like I said, the glass half full person in me tends to think, well, maybe they think they can make a bigger difference with social media, reach more people, more voices can hear them. They can make more of a difference with social media than their one vote.
So consider this. We'll just talk about a presidential election, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but we'll say this. In this country, based on the electoral college model, your vote only really matters if you live in one of about 6 or 7 states.
Yeah.
Do you realize that? Because no matter, I mean, most states are decided, the presidential election is decided by more than 5 points. Most states. I mean, we're talking about now Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, probably Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, maybe, Nevada, like 7 or 8 states, possibly. I mean, you know, you've seen over the last couple of years, like reddish purple states run to the red, bluish purple states run to the blue. Blue states get bluer, red states get redder. It's crazy. Like Florida, there's not a single statewide Democrat politician holding office in Florida today. Did you know that? First time in history. Okay, now, you would have believed that if I said it about California or New York or even Illinois now, right? Kind of crazy, man. It's crazy. It's crazy to think. So I can understand your point. I think it underscores your point. If I can influence the people I know with reason and fact, on social media, and I'm trying to do good in the world, my vote doesn't count anyway, right? And even if I vote for a person that doesn't represent my interests because I'm aligned with a particular ideology, whatever, but I can impact the people I know that I know are reasonable. I could buy that.
I guess let me put you on the spot and get a really good social media clip here. Would you give up your right to vote for social media?
Absolutely not. And that includes all the marketing that I use it for business purposes. You didn't even make me choose between business and personal, but I absolutely would not. And that is the glass half full person in me that says that it may return to being having the impact in my life that I wanted so desperately to have. There you go.
All right, cool. That was good there. Yeah, I'm with you. I would give up my right to vote for social media as well.
You would?
I would.
I wouldn't.
I would. Yeah, so you were the other.
I said no. I said no.
Yeah, well, I would.
50-50 here. I'm not going to argue. Go ahead. I buy your reasoning.
No, I think, you know, you can reach more people on social media.
Yeah.
But
you can.
Teach their own.
Yep.
So, all right, let's go on here. So, this article from CNBC titled, "Why So Many People Making $100,000 a Year Don't Feel Rich." So the big question is, does $100,000 a year make you rich? And the article says, according to 3 different definitions, it didn't give the definitions, but $100,000 salary would qualify you as upper class, and earning $100,000 per year puts you well ahead of the median American household income of $75,000. However, many people who make 6 figures still feel precarious due to the high cost of living in coastal cities and the burden of student loans. So it goes on to talk about you can seem rich in some parts of the United States making $100,000. So it really, really depends on where you live and your lifestyle, which I don't think there's any surprises there.
All right. So if you make $100,000 salary and you pay $38,000 in income tax between federal, state, local, leaves you with $62,000 or $5,166 per month. Okay. Now, this doesn't say if it's a single income earner or a household, but let's presume that you're a single person with no kids and no spouse. Okay. On $5,166 per month. Okay. Let's say you want to save for retirement. Okay. And you're going to save 10% of your earnings, like you probably should for retirement. That's another $500. Now you're down to $4,500. Let's say you go to the grocery probably twice a month and spend what, $250, $500 a month in groceries. Now we're down to $4,000 a month.
And that's not including going out to eat.
Well, and I'm not even there. We're already at $4,500. Let's say you want to be a homeowner because you make $100,000 a year. You should probably be a homeowner. Let's take a look at our median home price. All right. I'm going to get a little bit deeper into this, but I think I need a little bit more time after the break. So why don't we go ahead and cut to a couple of sponsors and we'll catch you after the break for the rest of my math equation on why you're not rich making only $100,000 a year. We'll see you soon.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
Hey, listen up. Do you own a car, truck, or boat? Do you own a business? Do you own or rent a home? If so, let's face it, you need to protect these assets from damage caused by accidents. For that, you need a friend in the insurance business. Let my friend John Blackford with Kentucky Farm Bureau protect you. Like many of you listening, Jen and I have worked hard to build our businesses over the years. John has delivered on his promise to protect us when we've needed it the most. We've experienced losses as small as a crack in our windshield or as big as a catastrophic property fire. While he has 2 decades of experience, Kentucky Farm Bureau has over a century of operational excellence all across the state. Every year, insurance companies move in and out of Kentucky, but Farm Bureau has proven to be a constant. John and Kentucky Farm Bureau have perfected the balance of providing service and coverage at competitive rates. Listen, we've all worked hard, and loss or damage is inevitable. This is why we all need a friend in the insurance industry. John Blackford has been that genuine friend to me for years. Let John Blackford be that friend to you. Call him today at 502-327-5480 for advice on all your insurance needs.
Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. I'm your host, Jay Pitts, here on Talk Radio 1080. Here with Ryan Harris, and I was just schooling him on why you're not rich with $100,000 a year. Okay? So what I said was, after taxes, you're at $5,200, right? $5,200 after taxes per month. And then basically, it was a little less than that, actually, more like $5,100. We'll call it $5,000. You are at $4,000 a month after groceries of $500 a month, okay, and after retirement savings, okay? I'm going to just make this real simple math. We're at $4,000. Okay, you're going to pay probably another couple hundred in car insurance and health insurance. That takes us, let's say that takes us down to $3,500. Okay. And I was about to get into median home price homeownership. Okay. If you were to buy a $300,000 house in Louisville, let's presume that you had a gift or savings for your down payment. We're not even talking to having to save for that. That's a $240,000 mortgage at 6.5%. Interest on 30 years puts your monthly mortgage payment at $1,500, principal and interest only. You probably got another $500 in taxes and insurance. You're $2,000 a month. We were already at $3,500, okay, after groceries, retirement savings, and health insurance. So now we're down to $2,000 a month, Okay. From 3,500 down to $2,000. What about furniture? What about entertainment? What about gasoline to drive back and forth to work? What about vacations? What about anything? What about hobbies? What about golf, Ryan? What's it cost to be a member at Hirschborn? Even for a junior membership. No, you don't even have to say
it. Non-disclosure.
Not a little non-disclosure agreement there. Anyway, my point is
zero now.
You know, if this is the situation that you find yourself in, okay, you can live a decent life. Okay, but that life is predicated upon continued employment, continued increases in pay. The decisions you make better be accompanied by advancement, because nobody's getting anywhere saving $500 on even 10% saved towards retirement's not going to keep pace. I mean, think about it, 10% of your income, while inflation has been closer to, at its peak, has been almost 10%. So you're almost saving nothing for retirement if you're only saving 10%. So here's the thing, man. There needs to be two incomes, okay? There needs to be greater than, or at least the prospects for greater than $100,000 in annual earnings. There needs to be some sort of method to defray tax expense, because that's your $38,000 expense in this example annually. But there needs to be some home run investments. There needs to be some things. But we didn't even leave room for any investments other than 10% going into your IRA. All right,
you could always move somewhere without income tax.
And you'll pay 9% sales tax and higher cost of living. Like, go to Nashville and the $300,000 house is $600,000.
Just so everybody knows, listen, Jay did all that math in his head. He definitely didn't have a calculator out.
I did divide.
I feel comfortable you could have done it all in your
head. Well, I could have. I did do the
Well, you did. Remember, there was no calculator.
Well, whatever. Income tax.
So, yeah, I think overall $100,000, you're comfortable. Don't think
you're not getting ahead.
Yeah, it's very weird. The article classifies that as upper class, but teach their own.
Well, hold on. Let me say one thing, because there's probably a bunch of people out there listening that make 100 or even less and live a perfectly good life. Here's the difference. Okay. I bought my first piece of real estate a long time ago for a lot less money. And I started participating in the game, okay, with significant equity increases in my investments. Okay, so like my income doesn't have to be as much as someone starting from scratch today. That's the point. Okay, you wonder, okay, how people make it on less income. Well, if you've been making $40,000 a year or thereabouts for 30 years, but you bought your original home, which is perfectly fine for you, and you don't need to upgrade it, and you paid $120,000 for it instead of starting at $300,000, right? Okay, that's different, you know? I mean, we've got, you know, my mom has real estate investments where the cost basis is unbelievable. You can't believe what they paid for this real estate if you look at it in today's terms. All that equity is just sitting there waiting for her to cash out at some point. But unfortunately, young people starting today, you have to start at a higher income because everything costs more, right? The things that you feel obligated to participate in life cost a lot more. So, you know, please don't mistake me as saying that, you know, your income is inadequate if you don't make $100,000. It's all about circumstance. We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
And to all those people on social media who keep yelling at Jay in the comments that the market's crashing, you're delusional. I guarantee you in 20, 30 years, you're going to look back and be shocked at the prices people are buying homes for now.
Yeah, man, don't even get me started on the trolls.
I won't. I'll take it to Google then.
Yeah, take it over. Take it somewhere else.
Some Google news. So a couple things. They have Immersive View coming soon to Maps. So Google Maps is adding a new feature called Immersive View that will allow users to see a 3D representation of an area, complete with information about the weather, traffic, and busyness. The feature will be available in select cities later this year. And there's going to be a new way to plan cycling routes, and it's going to be all based off a lot of AI. So that's pretty cool. The reason I bring that up is we're talking about Bard next. So Bard is Microsoft's version of ChatGPT. They released it to certain people a couple months ago, and I don't know if you remembered, they did a live viewing of it, gave a wrong answer, and their shares tanked 8%. Well, it's getting better and better as AI does, and they've now released it to the general public. I've started using it, way better than ChatGPT. Free. Nice. It can surf every website in the world that you want it to. So I've been using it. I use it a lot for the notes for this show. You can put an article in there. It'll summarize the best points for you. You can give it an image, actually, and it can come up with a caption. So let's, for example, say two dogs. You have a picture of your two dogs. You can put it to Bard, and Bard can tell what kind of dogs it is and kind of just tell the emotions in the picture and give you a description for it. So, yeah.
Very interesting.
It's looking good for Microsoft. I think it's way better than ChatGPT.
Sounds to me like... The immediacy, you know, ChatGPT still has the limitation of it only goes back. It starts 18 months ago or whatever. You know, we Hannah put together a video for me from actually, I think a show that we did, where I was joking about asking ChatGPT questions about myself, and it didn't, could not provide. And it was just like unabashedly, you know, like incorrect and did not care, it seemed, about providing wrong answers. I found that to be interesting as the first experience I had with that. We're all enamored with ChatGPT, but as with revolutionary tools, we sometimes overlook limitations. You know, competition's good for everybody.
Yeah. It's going to, so another thing about Bard, they said should be able to write emails for you soon if you want it to. So, if it's very basic responses, it should be able to do that. I'm sure it could do non-basic responses too, but AI still needs like decisions for yourself. If somebody wants a meeting, Bard's not going to want to know if you want to meet with this person or not.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah,
I can't turn Bard loose responding to my email. I can guarantee that.
we've started using it for help with email copy at Simba, and I think like the most important thing is like, how can it be used to improve just any communication and creativity? Mm-hmm. And I think it helps with the hardest thing, and that's getting you started with ideas. I think getting started with any kind of anything creative is the hardest part of it. Yeah. So it really makes that easier.
I had ChatGPT write my wife. I didn't give it to her, but I had it write her a Mother's Day poem. That was great. I sent it to a couple of my buddies.
She definitely would have known.
I'm like, what do you think about this? And
did they think you wrote it?
They did not think I wrote it. I tell you what else I did. They were giving me a hard time because if you'll remember our discussion about which animal could you
be. I was just about to ask if you asked any friends about
that. Oh, totally. I passed it around. And I joked around about a giraffe. And they keep sending me, like, you know, videos, viral videos about giraffes fighting and things like that. And how I would. And so I had it write a poem about how Jay could triumph in a fight against a giraffe. And they found that humorous.
Were there any other good answers?
What did they say? A lot of them liked the cow. I don't know
how I'd do it.
I don't either. For those of you that don't, that did not listen, Ryan asked me a question, which animal I could prevail in a bare hands fight. I still don't have an answer for that. We still haven't heard from PETA. So I guess we're in the clear.
I think a cow is probably the best answer.
All right, man, let's get moved on.
All right, we got just a few more seconds here before we got to cut to the break. But when we bring it back, we will be talking about if the Fed's going to pause rate hikes. NBC paying a ton of money for exclusivity to an NFL playoff game. And we'll talk about Twitter appointing a new CEO. But we're going to go ahead and cut to a couple ad sponsors. Make sure you stick around. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris, on the Jay Pitch Show, Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk. See you in a sec.
Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
Where Louisville comes to talk. Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitch Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk.
All right, Jay, there's been a lot of talk, specifically started kind of yesterday. JP Morgan started getting very vocal about rate hikes, saying they believe it's going to be paused. Almost like they either know or they're setting a precedent of you better not raise rates anymore. Yep. I don't know which one it is, probably a little bit of both. But it says Federal Reserve is expected to pause its series of interest rate hikes as early as next week. Once again, this is coming from JP Morgan. Not sure how they know this, but they said, according to Bob Michel, Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income at JP Morgan Asset Management, Michel believes that the Fed has already done enough to slow inflation and that the further rate hikes could risk a recession. You agree?
I mean, okay, so a couple of things. Number one, like, you have to, so it was the chief investment officer in charge of fixed income. You think that wasn't strategic? Fixed income.
Pretty strategic.
Who gets fixed income? Who gets fixed income? Young people or old people?
Young.
Old people. Come on, Ryan. Fixed income, man. Fixed income's for old people. So basically what they're doing is they're saying, this guy is going to announce that you need to pause rate hikes, and if you do the contrary, then you're going to hurt old people. That's basically what they're
this
doing.
Let me show you. I can still get schooled.
Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, is an absolute savage, and he has come out against the current administration multiple times already. He has been very, very vocal. Okay, and he continues to be. I think it's funny that he's not making this statement himself, but I think that's absolutely strategic, and it absolutely comes from the top. And, okay, so in the article it says the quote is, inflation is yesterday's battle, which is hilarious when core CPI is still north of 5.5%. Okay, I've been on record as saying the 2% goal for inflation is pretty arbitrary. I think it's just as likely that 2% is not the number we should be striving for as, 5.5% may not be the number that we're striving for. 5.5 is way better than 8.5 or 9. And that's published. So what's actual, I don't know. It may not be, it may be 8.5 now. And it was 14. Like I have zero confidence in these numbers, and they're like actual, like, accuracy. I have no confidence. So here's what I'm going to say. I know this. If you stop raising rates, inflation is a concern. If you continue to raise rates, regional bank failures are a concern. I think regional bank failures is a bigger issue right now. Okay. I don't want to pay any more for a gallon of gasoline or a gallon of milk, and I don't want to pay 7% mortgage interest rates, but I think we're in a position now where whatever we may endure with respect to inflation in the near term future will be less than what we have already endured in the recent past. We don't know the complete fallout of regional bank failure, FDIC, runs on banks, payroll interruptions, things like that, right? Like the good thing that I think everyone would agree upon, whether or not you agree with the number that is quoted, I still don't, is that, employment has stayed relatively strong. Okay, so who banks with regional banks? Small business, right? You start messing with regional banks, you mess with small business can't make payroll, jobs don't exist. I do agree somewhat, although I think it's a little reckless saying it like that, that it's yesterday's problem. I'd rather not be in this position in the first place, but here we are.
You already said it, Jay, but this article says the Fed is facing a tug of war between two competing goals, slowing inflation and avoiding a recession. So you already said it, but the thing about tug of war, there's always a loser and there's always a winner. I don't know if so if they chose that on purpose or if it was maybe a mistake they made, but that's the first thing I thought
of. Poor word choice. Poor choice of euphemism. Here's another thing, man. We're in a recession. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear we're not in a recession. Like, when we make up definitions on the fly, definitions don't mean anything at that point. The prior definition of recession is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. We hit that in Q2, Q3 of 22. So what are we talking about? If we're not in a recession, if a recession is not interest, home mortgage rates doubling, if it's not 9% inflation, if it's not, you know, 50% increases in used car prices, if it's not, you know, if that's not a recession, I don't know what is. So again, not doom and gloom. You know, I have a favorite account that trolls me on TikTok for my videos when I say the real estate market's not crashing. It's a guy that you've showed me, you actually introduced me to him, the guy that sells the like $49 a month, like FSBO course or whatever. And I told somebody yesterday that came to my defense that this guy was a exercise in misery economics. Like that's all he sells, misery. So often that's what our media sells, and that's why people think that the sky is falling. I think this is the mildest recession that I've ever experienced, but it is a recession.
Yeah, I think 2008 definitely ingrained in people that there should be a housing crash with it, but you know, historically that's just not true. But we'll move on here, rapid fire. So Peacock and their NFL deal, they just have reached a deal worth $110 million. It's the first time that NFL has granted exclusive streaming rights to a playoff game, to a streaming service. It's a lot of money for one playoff game.
I mean, you know, streaming's where it's at.
It is going to be a wild card game. Not sure if you remember Amazon last year.
Yeah.
They did. They had the, I can't remember if it was, it might have been Thursday Night Football. It was only on Amazon.
Yeah.
And the first Thursday it was on Amazon, Amazon had their most Prime membership signups in a single day ever.
Yeah.
For the NFL game.
Well, I mean, that's something. You know, I've seen World Cup, or not World Cup soccer, but, you know, U.S. men's national soccer, women's national soccer on Max, which is HBO Max, which soon will be Max because they combined with Discovery and changed the name. Streaming is the word. It feels weird to me. But, you know, what this is continually doing is undermining even the streaming services that operate like traditional cable, like YouTube TV and places like that. You know, I don't even remember the others. I think YouTube pretty much decimated everybody in the streaming cable space. What was the one before that? Slang, I think, had one. I still don't know anybody that has that anymore. I don't know, man. It feels weird. It feels weird, but
I'll pay it.
I'm sure people will. Peacock has got a couple other shows that'll make you want to subscribe, and it's only like $5 a month, but it'll be 15.
It's got to be a nightmare for restaurant owners.
God bless, isn't it?
Yeah, just everything you have to buy now.
Well, you know, I don't know. We can go down a rabbit hole with that, but it was a big deal to get commercial contracts with cable companies to where you could show games in a restaurant. Probably costs less. I bet you don't have to have that now.
Yep. I don't know. One more thing, you know, so Twitter has a new CEO. They appointed Linda Yaccarino to CEO role. Elon Musk will be serving as the executive chairman of Twitter as of July 1st. In this role, he's going to be responsible for overseeing the company's overall strategy and operations. I don't know if this means much. He's probably still going to act like the CEO in a lot of ways, but maybe just take a little less off his plate.
I mean, the dude's still got the bullhorn, right? Like, I mean, he is the voice and the face of Twitter and will continue to be in any company that he operates on, or that he is you know, a principal in. I think it's a nice reminder for some people that he is politically agnostic. You know, if you look at Linda Yaccarino and a lot of her you know, leanings, she tends to lean pretty far left. She has a lot of pretty progressive ideas and has been very public on Twitter before she was an employee. about her feelings. Elon has recently received, you know, the labeling or the branding, if you will, because of his defense of free speech and his purchase of Twitter and his allowance and his reinstatement of certain accounts. So people are calling him pretty right wing. I think it's important to remember the guy's politics are pretty progressive. He just doesn't deal with what he deems to be bogus stuff on both sides. And so this tells me, and you do a little more digging on Iacarino, and you'll see that essentially she is large-scale ads advertising.
Right.
She has great relationships with big ad spend people. She needs to bring back the 40% of ad dollars that were lost the day he bought Twitter. So, you know, it seems to me like a strategic move.
Yep. I know you have a couple things you want to say before we have to end this show, but, you know, I'll just quickly point out, you know, Elon Musk has taken a couple licks in the last few days. Turkey's going through an election. Uh-huh. They asked him to censor certain tweets or news. He agreed, which is not, you know, really free speech. But what he said they're going to do different, he said, oh, no, we're still going to censor when people ask us to. We'll just be open about it. Like, we won't keep it behind closed doors. So
it's a little ham-fisted the way he explained that.
You know, that I don't take that in a good way at all. I guess it's better to be open about it, but yeah.
I mean, he tried to like couch it as like, you know, some magnanimous thing that would like, you know, save lives or what have you. But I'm not buying it either. Well, jury's still out. We'll see. All right, folks. Well, I think that's about all the time we got for today. As you well know, it's Memorial Day weekend, and we want to wish all of our listeners and everyone a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. Hope you're celebrating with family. Hope you get out to the swimming pools, as most of them are opening up this weekend. But thank you once again for tuning in and listening to us muse about all the things that we like to talk about. For Ryan Harris, my co-host, I am Jay Pitts, host of the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080. We'll see you next week.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670. Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitts Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.